Well, hard to believe it's already Wednesday morning. Man, another week just flying by. This year is going by way too quickly indeed. We're going to take your phone calls this hour now with David Wilcock, and also we'll get some of his ideas, his thoughts, techniques on what you can do to enhance your own intuitive abilities. That's all next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, let's get some of your thoughts, David, on what people can do to enhance their own intuitive abilities.
Well, I think this is a very important question because as we're going through these changes as a planet, we're also seeing that there is a need to be prepared for potential disruptions to our continuity of life. I'm not saying there's going to be catastrophes. That's one of the areas in which I differ with probably a lot of people who study this, but I do feel that there are going to be a lot of localized problems. I mean, if you were in Hurricane Katrina, for example, you very much had a local problem. So I do think it's good to, to have your stored food and to have some of your money in a solid asset like gold or silver. I think it's important, though, to be able to have a conscious contact with your intuitive ability because that's how I've been able to get to where I am. I use that guidance consistently. So as point of fact, the most important thing to remember is that your mind is the universal mind. You do have access to this universal consciousness within your conscious mind. Your conscious mind is not something separated from the universal mind. But in order to allow the universal mind to be the predominant force that is thinking, you have to quiet down the mind that is created by your body. And that's best done by seeking for the quiet point in yourself through meditation. So meditation is and always will be the central bottom line of how best to approach this intuitive faculty. Now, there are a lot of methods that you can use if you're getting started, various forms of divination, such as cards that you can use, tarot cards. Mm-hmm. You can basically read the cards by charging them up with energy. You hold each card and you look at it and you study its meaning, and then that card will carry your energy signature so that later on, when you ask your subconscious a question, you can pick the card that feels right to you, and it will be the one that you pick because it has the charge on it. Another trick that you can use is bibliomancy, particularly if you have a book that is loaded with inspirational material. You can hold the book between your hands and ask a question, and then with your eyes closed, open up to a particular page and even put your finger on a particular spot, and then just see what's there when you read it. You may have some very surprising things happen when you do that. And my personal favorite of all the various forms of divination is dreams. I think that we, as a general rule, are wasting a tremendous amount of useful information. In fact, I propose that every dream you have is like a treasure chest filled with wonder from your higher self, and if you can go in and remember your dreams, then the key is to write them down, document them, and study them with the understanding that every symbol, every character, every situation, every environment is yourself. So that's why I tell people when you have dreams where there's tidal waves or volcanoes or earthquakes, don't believe that that means the earth is going to have those things happen. It means that you yourself are going to be having a major disruption. Now, all of the ancient mystery school teachings and all of the ancient wisdom teachings and religions all agree that in order to get to a greater point of intuitive access, you basically end up transcending what you would call the ego or the personality self. And this means that a part of yourself is very identified with the body. It wants to seek the comfort of the body, the security of the body, and as a result, it is predominantly materialistic in its focus. And that's okay. We all have to have some of that. But as you can expand your perspective and take in a more universal vision of what it really means to be yourself and what it really means to be alive, you'll see that ultimately all the things I'm telling you are true, that there are many, many, many intelligent species in the universe because the universe is built of mind. And consciousness is the underlying substrate for why anything exists. So that's the great mystery. And when you can resonate with that mystery by approaching that still point within yourself, using things like cards or your own dreams or any of a variety of means, synchronicity is another one that you can pay attention to. people are starting to notice more and more, like they'll see 333 on the clock or 1111.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it'll happen right when they were thinking about something important. So people ask me all the time, well, what does this mean? The answer is always the same. Basically, what you want to do when you see one of those is ask yourself, what was I thinking right before this happened? And that will be the answer. So it's going to flag whatever you were thinking and tell you that that was an important thought that you're on the right track with. So these are just a few of the things I do have in my weekend workshops that I do, a whole dream sharing circle that we're now doing on Sunday. What I do is I have people from the audience actually give me their dreams, and then I basically crack them down. And actually, I'd love to do a show like that on here at some point, George, where we just have people call in with their dreams, and I'll just crack them down and analyze them.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, okay. It's very useful.
And let's go to the calls now, David. We'll go to west of the Rockies, Kingman, Arizona. Sage is there with us. Hey, Sage, you're on with David Wilcock.
Hello, George. Hello, David. How are you guys this morning?
Very well, thank you.
My question is, I had read a book by Barbara Hand Clow, and towards the end of the book, she was talking about what you had just said earlier about us being under quarantine, that our planet being under quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking to the effect that coming up to 2012, depending on events that take place here on our planet, that the quarantine could possibly be lifted.
Yeah, you have to understand that there absolutely is going to be a shift, at which time there will be much more galactic diplomacy than there is now.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, though, that it's also important to point out that as the Earth moves into what the Law of One and other sources refer to as fourth density, there is going to be a prolonged period in which the planet is positive in nature exclusively, and it will not permit those of negative orientation to be here. Now, it's my understanding that the reason why they're kept out is because there are going to be people who are basically fighting on the front lines to make sure that they don't get in.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that means the quarantine will still be in place or not, I don't know. I think it's different than the quarantine, though, because the quarantine basically keeps everybody out. So I think this is going to be more of like a battle that's going to be fought to basically stop these guys from getting in.
Okay, and I also had another question, and it kind of pertains to a lady that was on recently about intent.
Okay.
I've been reading a lot of books by Sylvia Brown, and that we can create with our minds and our thoughts.
Yeah, actually, Sylvia Brown is published by the same guy that's publishing me, Brian Tart, Dutton Books.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying create with our intent. Now, is there a particular question in regards to that? Would you like me to just talk about that subject some?
As far as, like, you know, protecting ourselves from viruses and just negative.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, give
sorry,
it a
I'm
shot,
a little
Dave.
Nervous.
That's okay. Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, it's quite all right. Yeah, it's a very interesting point, actually, because we fundamentally learn that viruses are frequency-based. Most of the viruses have a geometric structure, and that geometry can translate into a wave function. There's a Russian scientist named Vlail Koznacheyev, say that three times fast, and he basically found that he could take hermetically sealed cells that were healthy and then zap them with energy just on a light wave from cells that were diseased, and the healthy cells in a hermetically sealed container would acquire the disease. Now, there is something that stops that from happening to us, because otherwise we'd be getting every virus there was. And the shield is basically the energy body. And what keeps that shield working perfectly and fully intact is when your mind is in harmony with the universal mind, which means that you're in a state of uplifting gratitude for your life and for other people, and you're in a state of peace and tranquility. It's when we allow ourselves to get stuck in stress and anger that we lose that protective shield and we become susceptible to illness and to dis-ease, so to speak. So intent is very important. Intent is the underlying essence of health and of how we actually experience reality. The more that we focus on a particular outcome, the more that is the outcome that we will meet with in our daily life.
David, before the break, we were talking about reptilians, and you were
yeah, I didn't
skittish.
Want to drop that thread. Thank you for bringing that back.
Sure.
It's very important to point out that I do not believe that these world elites are shape-shifting reptilian creatures. I didn't get to say that at the end of the last break. However, what I will say is that it has also been explained to me by some of these insiders that all of us on Earth, everyone, has some of this reptilian genetics in our DNA, because basically the Anunnaki reverse engineered the existing human on this planet and upgraded them with their own DNA to some degree. And there are some problems that I can't go into details about with the physical human body that are actually directly attributed to the reptilian genetics that we have. Now, what I can say on top of that is that these reptilians seem to think that because they tinkered with our DNA and then other ETs have come in and given us various pieces of their DNA as well, they think that they have somehow designed us and that they are therefore the gods of us. What they don't realize is the galaxy designed the DNA. The galaxy is still evolving us. One of the most interesting things I heard from these insiders in regards to the Anunnaki is that these Anunnaki are actually extremely terrified of us because we have the potential to be much more powerful than they are as psychics, and this is something that's starting to happen. They do appear to be the secret group that is basically manipulating the Illuminati on Earth. You got to remember, no matter how high-ranking anybody is on Earth, they are under the boot of others who are extraterrestrial in nature, basically. And those extraterrestrials, in turn, are under the boot of even higher-level negative extraterrestrials. And then, of course, all of those are just like children in a sandbox who can totally be stopped by what I call management, you know, the higher positive forces out there that are much more vast in their potential. These are the kind of guys that can basically move an entire solar system around just like we would roll a marble down the table. So you have to understand that the protective forces or what I call management will not allow the planet to be destroyed. They will not allow the planet to fall into the negative. They are protecting us as we go through this evolutionary process. And the game is this. They are here to ensure that the planet has an even balance between whether you want to seek the positive or whether you want to seek the negative, so that at any point, wherever you choose to put your focus is what you will see. In order to keep that balance, they have to make sure that things never get too awful on the planet. And that's why they would stop a nuclear war. They would stop any attempt for mass genocide. They would stop a worldwide economic collapse. None of these grandiose doom and gloom prognostications will happen because we are here to have a spiritual experience, and these higher-level ETs will ensure that experience can proceed unmolested.
All right, let's go to Aaron in Chesterfield, Indiana. Aaron, go ahead.
Namaste, everybody. How are you doing?
Good.
Very well, Aaron. Thank you.
Great. Okay, this is a dream I've had about 8 months ago. It's probably the most prolific dream I've ever had. So,
just give us a summary, because we don't have time for a long dream, but I'd be happy to help you understand it.
Okay. Pretty much, I'm looking out the back of my window, and I see a 200-foot-tall devil. And, you know, it's pretty much like a train wreck. You can't stop looking at it. So as I'm watching him walk down the interstate, I hear a thump, thump. There is a larger demon walking my way, and it's saying the name Jesus Christ in the most truly blasphemous way I've ever heard anything say it.
Okay.
So it notices me, and then it says, you know, Jesus Christ again, and just throws its arm through the window. I run back to the back of my room, and I open the closet, and there's two of my best friends that I've been talking the most about all this conspiracy theory stuff. But the weird part about it is, about a month ago, I've moved to a house right now, and I look outside, and I notice that I am exactly as far away from the interstate as the devil was in my dream walking down.
What do you think, David?
Okay, a 200-foot-tall devil in a dream. You said it was associated with a train wreck and that he was speaking about Jesus Christ in a blasphemous way. You said that he noticed you, said it again, throws his arms through your window, and then you're at the back of your room, you open the closet, and there's two friends who you've been talking about with conspiracy stuff. Now, I would propose that since these friends are people that you talked about conspiracy stuff with, remember the central premise is that every dream is some function of yourself. So these friends of yours symbolize the part of yourself that has dwelled on the negativity by focusing on the conspiracy. So therefore, what you're seeing with this 200-foot-tall devil is actually the thought form that has been created within your psyche of all the doom and all the fear that you've been focusing on. And these things create thought forms, which you then have to face in your dreams. So basically, the idea is that if you have a terrifying apparition appear like this in a dream, don't run away from it. The dream is obviously, as you said now, you've moved to a new place. Your dream clearly prophesied the future because now you're noticing that you're as far away from the interstate as where this devil was. So what that's saying is you now have an opportunity to face this fear that's been created within yourself, symbolized by the devil, to decide on a fundamental level, do you believe the universe is a place of chaos and disaster and pain and fear, or do you choose to believe that the universe is a place of love and abundance and positive growth? If these prophecies that I've been getting in my dreams come true, which I do believe they will, then what we're going to be seeing is an overthrow of all these negative forces that have been in control for so long. We're going to see the breakdown of the Federal Reserve, the breakdown of some of the most corrupt elements of our society. These things are inevitably going to happen. And this is only a matter of time. In fact, I'm going to be putting out a long, free MP3 download on my website, divinecosmos.com, where I will be going into these dreams in more detail because I'm realizing I didn't cover everything in this show. So that will be available. You can download that. But again, the point is, let's focus on the positive because the management ensures that we can have either option come true for us if we choose to focus on it.
All right, let's go to Detroit, Michigan. LaShawn, sorry for the Tigers tonight, huh?
Oh, yeah, that was horrible.
I know. Bummed out. But congratulations to Minnesota.
Yes. So, George, how are you doing?
Good, LaShawn. Go ahead. We've got a
couple minutes.
Hi,
how you guys doing? Okay, I wanted to speak about the reptilians. I spoke to you a couple months ago also, George, but when Melinda was on the show. But I wanted to speak about the reptilians. Now, David, did you say that you – what are your feelings about that? You said that they really – you're not sure if they actually exist or
– No, I've been given information now that confirms that the Anunnaki are a reptilian humanoid species.
Yeah, because I had an experience with one a few years ago, and I had an experience, and we had gone down to a meeting down in Atlanta, Georgia, about went to see this guy who knew about them and had experiences with them. When he gave their physical description, how they looked in the physical, and I said to my friend, I said, are you listening to this? Are you hearing this? And he said, yes. But I had an experience. I was asleep, and I felt this strange presence, and I woke up. All of a sudden, this man, he was very tall. He was strong, like steel.
Oh, yeah.
They're like steel, David.
Oh, I know. They weigh a lot more than we do.
Oh, my God.
Very solid. Yep.
But he was thin and tall. He had this long, blonde, beautiful hair down to his buttocks. His hands were around my throat. Okay, so I grabbed him.
Wow.
I grabbed him, and I was trying to physically fight him and pull him off of me, and I got so tired, and then I just let go, and I said, you know, we all have a higher presence. We all have a higher self. I agree with everything that you said about intent and about spirituality. You know, if you call to that presence, you will get assistance, because I didn't know what else to do.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. You have to get that assistance. Back with final calls in a moment. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, Richard C. Hoagland joins us. We're going to be talking about plans to smash a probe into the moon Friday morning on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be chatting with Richard C. Hoagland next. Up next, though, final calls with David Wilcock on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're with David Wilcock. We'll take your calls as well. David, when you and Richard talk about hyperdimensional physics, hyperdimensional, explain that. Give me the definition.
Well, actually, the way that I interpret hyperdimensional is that time is not just a one-dimensional line like in the conventional Einstein model, but time, in order to actually function properly within physics, needs three dimensions of its own to move around in. So the basic idea can be traced back through various forms of physics in which, like, for example, Kaluza-Klein theory shows that in order to unify gravity and electromagnetism as a unified field, which is what all physicists believe there must be, you need at least five dimensions to do that. So it's a conventionally accepted fact in science that there are, in fact, higher dimensions out there besides the length, width, and height that we see. Now, the problem with this model is that, of course, no matter where you go, no matter what right turn you make, you're still going to be in length, width, or height. So what does this really mean? There's obviously no extra dimensions. It's a mathematical construct, but what we do actually have is a parallel universe that coexists with our own, which exists all through space, all through the universe. And this parallel universe, when you flip over there, time, as we think of it, becomes three-dimensional. So this is how time travel is accomplished. If you go into a realm where moving through space over there is like moving through time for us, that means you can travel a distance over there, and over here you've actually time traveled. So that's where this kind of gets really strange. But the bottom line is that there is energy that we're exchanging with this parallel universe all the time, and that's the basis of all quantum mechanics. It's a fluid-like energy. The pyramids actually are built as funnels to harness that fluid-like energy that's going into all physical matter. They concentrate it and they put it into a tight beam, and that's why the Russians have discovered that when people are put inside these pyramids, they have really remarkable healings. Cancer, diabetes, all these diseases go away. It stops water from freezing when it goes below 32 degrees Fahrenheit. The ice is not able to form. There's all sorts of very strange things that happen when you begin concentrating hyperdimensional energy. And of course, the planets have these various geometric upwellings, such as the Great Red Spot on Jupiter, Richard's infamous 19.5, and that's very real. The planets do have this geometric hyperdimensional influx of energy, which actually appears as volcanoes and shield mountains and shield volcanoes, rather, on solid planets and vortexes on gas planets.
Okay, now to the calls. Alexandria, Louisiana. Here's Cornelius again, a name I don't forget.
George, you're something else. I've got to tell you, your call screeners are the greatest, Gina and Tommy. Now, Mr. Wilcox, I've got something for you. I just and you have a biblical name, David.
That means beloved, yes.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, I know you believe in one God. I know you believe that. I'm a little bit different, like I said, and George knows me from, you know, I just believe, like, you know, the devil's going to take over and bad things are just going to happen. And there's nothing we can do certain things about it, but there's certain things that's just going to happen. I don't know if the rapture is going to happen.
Are you reading, I mean, do you read the Bible?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Have you read Revelation?
Yes, sir.
So you understand what it talks about with the idea of a new heaven and a new earth, and that all the negativity in the beginning turns into the new Jerusalem towards the end.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm saying, but we're going to go through trying times and stuff like that.
Oh, you're phrasing it as if it's a future event, as if we're not doing that now.
Well, do you think we're in the apocalypse now, David?
Absolutely. I think that what's happening right now is the fulfillment of the biblical prophecy. In fact, if you actually go into the Law of One, what the Law of One says is that the Battle of Armageddon is this battle between positive and negative ETs that's actually been fought since actually before Christianity came on the scene. They actually are saying the Battle of Armageddon has been fought for 2,300 years now. Because in terms of a 75,000-year cycle, we're really only, you know, Jesus kind of showed up at the last minute to try to get everybody back on track and focusing on a monotheistic vision rather than pantheism and polytheism, where you have the angelic beings seen as God rather than just as aspects of one infinite creator.
Okay, let's go to Washington State of, we go to Tom. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Hi, George, Dave. I'm something of an aviation enthusiast, and I've had 40 minute and a half or so average visitations by what I consider to be alien flight crew asking tourist type questions. So I can confirm your statements about alien tourism.
You're saying this was while you were in a plane, an airplane?
No, this is while I'm in my workshop at home.
Wow, okay.
They're interested in what I'm doing in the way of building home-built airplanes in the yard and large-scale models in the shop.
So you're saying this is a full waking manifestation of a being in front of you?
Yeah, I've had 40 of these, and they come in groups of four, and they ask the same dumb tourist questions over and over, so I know it's a different guys, even though I can't tell them apart.
How about that? What, are you scared when this happens, or do you just relax?
I was initially, but I took the viewpoint that I could use this for intelligence work to gather as much information that might be valuable to humanity as I could.
What is the thing that they want?
curiosity. They're nuts about airplanes. They're space cadets, literally.
How about that?
Secondly, I've had 5 abductions, and I've been to the moon in a captain's mast type affair. I won't go into that because there isn't time. But I've asked them what they know about God. And God seems to be evolving races towards pure energy, which coincides with what you've been saying about the alien races. So I can confirm that.
Absolutely.
And my last question to you is this. I've had a gorgeous female hybrid take a sexual sample from me. And I'm 69 years old, and they've asked me to be an ambassador. And I want to know, why would they do that?
Well, a lot of people have experienced contact, which includes sexual encounters. In fact, if you look in reports of demonology, you'll see frequent references to incubus and succubus experiences people have, which seem to be historical legends of the same thing. Now, it does seem that there are some ETs that are basically backing up the hard drive, if you will, so that in the very, very, very unlikely chance that there was some major problem with the planet that they were not able to avert, that they would still have everyone's unique DNA signatures on file so that they could, in fact, repopulate humanity on another planet. But again, it's like taking the absolute precautions when you really don't need to, because they are watching this planet very carefully. They will stop a nuclear attack. They will stop a world economic collapse. They will stop things that would really damage human life. So people are being contacted, and most of the people who seem to be giving genetic samples, though it may terrify them and some of them may be very upset about it, it does appear that in most cases, and I will say most cases, that they on some level agreed to this before they were born. And so if anybody out there is having this happen, recognize again that what the Anunnaki and other types like that are afraid of the most is your own potential. They like it if you're angry at them. They like it if you're afraid of them. What they don't like is when you have the strength to stand before them and say, no, you're not allowed to do this, but you don't hate them either. You're able to have the shield of loving consciousness that protects you from the negativity.
What do you think of Zachariah Sitchin's theories?
Well, Zachariah Sitchin is on the right track. In fact, it seems that he has been given a lot more of his information than just by research. And there's a lot of that I can't talk about. But suffice it to say that he's kind of taken an abstracted view of what's really going on. The Anunnaki are not all one race. They're not all from one location. You cannot explain all the various ETs coming here on the Anunnaki. But there are definitely elements of truth in what he said. And there is a great deal of this stuff that can be found in the Sumerian scriptures.
All right. Next up, we go to Table Rock, Nebraska. Hello, Stu. You're on with David Wilcock.
Hey, George. Good morning.
Hi.
I wanted to bring you guys back around to what you were talking about a little bit earlier with the Illuminati and the opposition to if you guys were going to come back on it, and you never did.
Is there a specific question you'd like on that vein?
I'd like an update. I heard a little bit about it with a reporter who was giving out warnings, and that was the last I ever heard of it. I'd like to know if there's anything new. What all you can say, you know.
Well, no, I appreciate that question because that actually is what I feel is the most important thing for us to be talking about at this time. Because, again, what I'm being shown in multiple dreams, and I'm talking 20, 30 or more dreams, which I'm in the process of putting together, and I'm going to have that free MP3 on my website you can listen to and download within the next couple days. The point is this. It appears that these guys are on the brink of a substantial defeat. And I would like to point out once again that because of this ridiculous fiat paper money scheme that's been going on.
For years.
For years and years and years. The wealth that has been created by humanity has been realized in many wonderful things. There's hundreds and hundreds of spaceships that we've built that are not, you know, NASA, much more advanced than that stuff. There are bases, some of which are built in conjunction with other people, meaning not from here. There's lots and lots of stuff out there. These guys have basically created so much wealth for themselves that it's on the order of the thousands of trillions of dollars that they claim as their assets. And again, this is all just bubble money. It's ridiculous. But that's the kind of money we're talking about. We're talking about thousands of trillions of dollars. And when you start thinking in those terms, and then you realize what will happen if there is a substantial reduction or defeat, for example, in the derivatives market, which is where a lot of these paper gains are being created, it could literally mean that the average person's assets become worth a heck of a lot more than they are now. Once we get these technologies out there, it will lead to the average person being able to live like a millionaire. And again, once you start to take all the goods and services and make them produced by robotics and by free energy, the whole economy is based on scarcity and on the lack of energy. And so once we have limitless energy, we can green the deserts, we can create much more food, we have the ability to allow a lot more people to live comfortably on the planet, we can create more water from desalinating ocean water. There's lots of things we can do. So I really do feel that we are in the darkest moment, and I was thinking the turning point was going to be in 2012. Now I'm being told the turning point will happen in advance of 2012. There will be some very inspiring things going on prior to that time. And we can all look forward to a really amazing future, because this is where this galactic energy is taking us. It's a managed process. The reason why we were given prophecies like the Book of Revelation, the Bible, which does say that this all works out for the positive, that's what the New Jerusalem and the New Heaven, New Earth is. It's showing us, okay, look, we know what's going to happen. It's not a prophecy that we gave you just to tell you everything's going to be destroyed. That would be ridiculous. It's a prophecy that tells you that it's going to be positive. Most of the other prophecies outside the Bible really do focus on the golden age aspect of this. They show us that it's going to be a world that is so much greater than what we have now that we would be brought to tears if we even tried to imagine what that world is going to be like. And so the glimmerings are there. Everybody's waking up to the Illuminati New World Order scheme. That's why they're scared. They're doing endgame maneuvers. They're getting really stupid. Seems that they have three major plans of how to reduce population. Number one, economic collapse leading to anarchy and violence. Number two, swine flu and vaccines that would actually be lethal. Number three, some sort of conflagration or war, perhaps Israel and Iran is the latest one, seems to be going on, that would then lead to some sort of large amounts of death. And again, I think all of these plans will be stopped. I think that when you start getting desperate like this and start making these kind of things try to happen, people get smart to you. They figure out what you're doing. It is very possible that there will be disclosure sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, then the whole bubble pops and the game is over and we could be in a very, very different world than where we are now.
Fascinating observations, David.
Thank
Orange,
you.
California, we go west of the Rockies. Max, you're on with David Wilcock.
Hey, guys. Hey, that's really beautiful, your little talk there, David.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
I mean, it is. You almost brought a tear to my eye, but I'm too old and kind of jaded.
Oh, I could get you if I had more time, believe me.
No, you got me, man. I'm looking at your website, as long as my browser doesn't keep crashing. Just a basic one for you. I mean, I don't get it. Why Afghanistan? Russia was there forever, the United States. Why there and in Iraq, too, other than oil and opium? I really just don't get it.
Well, why would it have to be other than oil and opium? Isn't that enough? I mean, that's where
it's a lot. Yeah.
You know, the bottom line is that the Middle East has been not only a theater of operations because of petroleum, but it also is the biblical Armageddon site. And these guys in the Illuminati have a very curious funhouse mirror inversion of Christianity in the so-called Luciferian tradition. And they actually take the Bible very literally on some levels, but then they see themselves as basically the opposition to it and feel that it's created a lot of negativity, that basically Christianity suppressed science and suppressed freedom of thought and speech, and therefore they see themselves as opposing that constriction. Now, I don't agree that religion is a constricting force, and I think everybody has the right to believe how they want, and you can choose whatever you like. All that being said, the Middle East is where they feel that the Battle of Armageddon must be realized in order to sort of jumpstart the Golden Age. And so in some senses, they want to be where the action is, and they want to have the troops there and keep control over this as it happens.
We got time for one or two more. David, let's go to Radia in the city of New York. Hi there, Radia.
Hi, it's Radia.
close.
Close. Don't butcher my name. David, you mentioned that the management wouldn't allow the powers that be to run amok and to destroy the world and to create genocide because they want all the human beings on the planet to have a spiritual experience. Is that correct?
Well, I can see where you're setting me up for, and the point is they do allow a lot of things to happen, but there is
exactly,
a limit to how far they will allow it to go.
Right, because there's genocide going on halfway across the world.
I'm aware of that, yeah.
Darfur and all these other places, people are dying of AIDS, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, is this spiritual enlightenment and happiness for the whole planet or certain groups of people? Because I think that everyone deserves the same, you know, the same plan. So how is it that they can not create, not allow certain things, but allow other things to partake on the planet? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've delivered the big groin kick that many people are not equipped to handle when they're talking about spirituality and defend this position in a way that's going to make sense. And it's the basic bottom line question everybody asks. Somebody always asks, why do bad things happen to good people? It's important to keep in mind that this is the end of the age, and the prophecies did speak about the fact that it would be very difficult. If you lose your life at this time in the planet's history, that's probably the last time you're going to be here. And you're probably not going to reincarnate. You're probably not going to come back in the physical sense again. So there is a lot of tumultuous stuff going on. There are places that you can be born where you will have some very difficult experiences. I would point you to the works of Michael Newton, who wrote Destiny of Souls and Journey of Souls. And what he did is to hypnotically regress people to the state they were in between lifetimes. And what we find over and over again is that you know before you ever come here what the major experiences are that you will go through. And there are many people who are very strong and very compassionate and very loving who will choose extremely difficult situations for themselves when they come into this planet, including situations where they will die hideous deaths of torture and starvation. The reason why some people choose that is because they're already very spiritually strong, and those experiences can, in many cases, build your strength. If you're in a situation where people are dying, for example, if you look at the history of Edgar Cayce in his past lives, there was a lifetime where he was essentially a very narcissistic, gambling womanizer, alcoholic type. And at the end of his life, he was in a situation where there was a famine, and it was a great disaster. And he gave food that he could have eaten to a starving child. And in that one selfless act, he was able to erase that entire lifetime of karma that he had created for himself.
David, once again, great job. David's website, divinecosmos.com. Look for his work all over the map. We'll be back with Richard C. Hoagland in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.